All right, it's 6:07 and 53 seconds on the clock. You're joining us here on the Sunday edition of Sports Weekend Part 1. Time for Swish. And joining us in the studio for all that and more, here is Raj. What's up, Raj?
Still love it how you say my name.
Raj!
Yesterday, you guys are going to ask me, what did I do this
weekend? Of course. Well, where in the world did Raj go?
Yeah, I'm so excited to tell you guys. Yesterday, I went to Chuncheon. Home of Duck Galbi.
How was it? Was it too spicy for you or no?
No, it was not. It was not spicy at all for me, actually. Mm. I was surprised.
I don't know if our listeners know this, but I think, have we mentioned it before, that Korea converted you from being a vegetarian to a carnivore?
That's
right.
Is this true? This is absolutely
true.
Isn't
that crazy? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
usually,
I'm impressed.
Usually the vegetarians are the annoying people in the corner that are, you know, you go to eat like samgyeopsal and they're not going to eat. They're asking for like just a wrap.
Yeah, they're missing out.
Exactly.
I have to say
there you go, Raj.
They're missing out.
And Korea converted you.
It did.
Wow.
It really did.
I have nothing against vegetarians. I just don't befriend the vegetarians. I just don't like to be friends with vegetarians.
Why is that?
Because some of the best moments of a friendship is while you're eating.
Exactly.
And when you're eating meat and you want to eat meat, you know, come on. 90% of the time when you go out to eat,
yeah,
it's meat.
And we live in Korea.
In Korea. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's chimek, not like... whatever, sangchumek or whatever.
It's, you know, a difficult life for vegetarians here.
I think. Well,
although,
unless you become a Buddhist.
Although, like New York, because you know that's where I'm from. In New York, it's easy to be a vegetarian because there's so many food out there which you can be, like, you know, all the halal food. Like, I love hummus and like falafels.
Oh,
and,
we
like,
forgot about that.
Yeah, all that stuff. It's all vegetarian.
Yeah, 16 years I was a vegetarian in Toronto.
I was at one point 6 months vegetarian.
Congratulations.
Did you have surgery or something?
No, I just decided I wanted to be a vegetarian and I had, you know, I saw a commercial for a meatball sandwich and I just broke down.
Really?
I just had to have it. And that was my 6 months of being a vegetarian.
Why did you decide to be a vegetarian?
I thought it'll help me lose weight. Didn't work because apparently french fries are vegetables. That didn't work out. And all those Caesar side salads with all those dressings.
Yeah.
Not gonna work out. But did you know Mike Tyson is a vegetarian?
Really?
Did not know that.
And the reason why I say that is because our first topic today is a boxer.
Oh.
That's right. It's about Joe Louis.
Yes.
The Brown Bomber.
That's right. He was a professional American boxer. He was also the world heavyweight champion from 1937 to 1949. Mm. In fact, in 2005, he was ranked as the number one heavyweight of all times by the International Boxing Research Association.
Oh.
And, like, I can go on and on about how great he was. Like, for example, he stayed as a champion for, like, 140 consecutive months.
Okay.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. And so the reason why I'm bringing him up today is because on September 24th, 1935, he became the first African-American to draw $1 million purse in boxing.
Wow.
I mean, back then at that time.
That's a lot.
And
that's
also socially at that time, I mean, we always say, you know, for Ryunjin, we always talk about Ryunjin, but I can never, you always have to give credit to Park Chan-ho, I think, because even at that time, there was a little bit of, you know.
Racism.
Exactly.
Kind of,
but think about back here at this, during this time.
Dude, this is one of the roughest times.
Not only do you have to go into the ring in the most brutal sport, because back then, you know, boxing is not like it is now where you're, you know, I think it's a lot safer. It's still very dangerous, but it's not like we have MMA, you know what I mean? But back then, it was quite a brutal sport. And he had a lot of things to go through. And I remember seeing a documentary about him, and it was kind of actually sad, his life story a little bit.
Joe Louis, when it comes to boxing, this is one of those names. You know, you talk about Muhammad Ali. You know, you talk about George Foreman. You talk about all these names. And Joe Louis is one of those names that you mention all the time. And September 24th, 1935 is the day that we're talking about here. Like you said, the first African-American to draw $1 million purse. $1 million back in 1935, that is a lot.
That's a lot of money. Yeah. And he was also known, outside of the ring, he was also known for the impact he had with the U.S. citizens.
The thing is, you mentioned, SJ mentioned Muhammad Ali, and we all know about Muhammad Ali and, of course, the war in Vietnam.
That's right.
But Joe Louis was a different story. I mean, he served, and he was, you know, a proud, I guess, a member of the military. And it was a different time back then, and I think he was... I don't know. We saw it a lot with the baseball players during, I guess, that era, but a different time maybe, but he was a patriot too. So I really think what happened to him was a travesty, I mean, in my opinion.
wasn't Joe Louis the boxer who, you know, he served, he was an American hero. He served in all these, you know, wars and stuff like that, but he came back, but they, he didn't get the kind of appreciation as a war hero should have gotten.
Well, what happened to him was the IRS went after him, and they basically bankrupted this guy who was an American hero. He did so much, and they went after him, and they basically, he was a broken man. He ended up, he was doing, like, you know, having to do undignified things, like he was a circus sideshow and things like that, you know. And it was just, if you look back on it and you watch some of the documentary, it's a real injustice what happened to a guy like him.
Yeah, Raj, you have some interesting stuff here regarding a fight that happened in June of 1938. Yeah. Tell us about this, because this is pretty interesting.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about that. So in June 1938, what happened was he had a fight against this boxer. He was a German champion. Yes, Max Schmelings, right? And this was actually the second fight that he had against him. The first fight he lost, mm-hmm. but during the second fight, he basically won against him during the first round. And this win was really huge. Do you guys mm-hmm. know why it was really huge?
Should I read the script?
Well, I'll just say it. Because this fight, it represented like a battle between democracy and fascism, mm-hmm. right? So it helped the Jews that were living in America believe that, you know, Germans could not be defeated. Could not be defeated by members of the minority.
Right, right. The whole thing with the Nazi was that you know, engineering a pure race and things like that. And obviously, during the Olympics, we always say, "Hey, politics should not be in the Olympics." But come on, we all know that's not true.
It's always happening.
What I mean?
It's
so it's just nationalism and things like that, and done in the right context. But man, how much pressure! You know, going in there, you're like representing the U.S. And he also helped unite the U.S. in a weird way, because at that time, it was like, you know, what they say is the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Right.
Right? So you have the Nazis, and then you have, you know, Schmeling representing that. And then, but in the U.S., you have this whole race barrier. But, you know, whites and blacks were supporting Joe Louis, you know,
right,
what I mean? So
right.
It was kind of interesting, and sometimes that's the power of sport. I think he can do that.
And he also went on to break the color barrier in golf.
Really?
He played golf?
Yeah, well, after he retired from boxing, right, he appeared under an exemption in a PGA event in 1952.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, so, no good for Tiger.
Tiger's not fully African-American.
Well, so Tiger, you know, he knocked out two birds with one stone, right? Got the whole Asian.
He might have knocked out, like, a whole bunch
right,
of them, actually.
And the black, yeah.
So. Anyways, but, you know, obviously, Joe Louis, September 24th, 1935, this week in sports history, was the first one. But you have another boxing one here, and this time it's not necessarily a boxer, right?
That's right. I'm going to be talking about Eva Shane.
Eva who?
Shane.
Eva Shane.
She was a boxing judge. She's an American boxing judge, and she was one of the first female judges in New York. So first she began judging amateur fights, but then in March 1975, she became a professional boxing judge.
Receiving the license, right?
Yeah, she was licensed by the New York State of Athletic Commission. Anyways, why is she so important? It's because she judged a heavyweight championship.
And she was the first.
Yeah, that's right. She was the first woman to do that. So on September 29th, 1977.
I remember this. I was four months old.
She was one of the three judges who judged the fight between Muhammad Ali and Ernie Shavers.
I gotta admit, that's kind of anticlimactic, because you had me hooked in with Muhammad Ali and Ernie Shavers. And then you busted out Ernie Shavers.
70 million people watched this fight, and it was like huge, because it was like a woman judge.
Oh.
You know what it is?
Was she in the ring?
No. One of the three judges.
One of the judges.
Okay, that's what I was saying.
Not the referee, but this is big. I mean, you know, nowadays, even in UFC, we see...
There's the... What are you going to say, SJ? Say it.
Not the greatest judge. Not the best judge.
Okay. But there's also a referee, too.
She's very scary, intimidating. Yes. And also, there's a boxer recently, a very controversial female boxing judge from the Mayweather fight.
Oh, she's terrible.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but you know what?
Why is she terrible?
I'm just, but look, this is where you know that you're accepted is when you can freely criticize the judge. Because sometimes what you're afraid of is when you get a, like a woman official or something. Because like in soccer, you have women line judges. And they always get yelled at because they always mess up an offside call. But it's like sometimes you overcompensate. You don't yell at the referee like you would a male referee because you don't, you know, it's a female. But now, like even in the NBA, they go after him. So I think, hey, if you're out there, you should be criticized.
Now.
Yeah,
there's
exactly.
Equality now.
Treat him fairly.
That's why
treat
it's great.
Fairly.
That's why I feel comfortable saying that that boxer, that boxing judge, what's her name? CJ, what's her name? Cynthia, her name is, what is it? CJ something.
She can't count. I know that.
She's a terrible, she's infamous.
Yeah, she's made some very terrible, some really iffy judging. I don't know.
But apparently for Eva Shane, you know, obviously, you know, she's not notorious for being a bad judge because to be one of the judges at a fight like Muhammad Ali's fight at Madison Square Garden, Bright Lights, one of the greatest arenas in the world. Mm-hmm. This is great. I think this is a very important, you know, moment in sports history, September 29th.
And she's going to have more pressure on her because whenever you're the pioneer to do something, you're probably going to, you know, the pressure to, if you mess up, it's like everybody's going to point the finger at you.
And you set the standards, right?
Exactly.
Just like, Raj, you said you broke all sorts of barriers here on Sports Weekend.
Yeah, exactly. We can make all kind of.
Please.
She's basking in the glow.
Great stuff there. We're going to go into our final piece here, and this time it's in baseball.
Yes, I wanted to talk about the Olympics, the baseball Olympics.
That's right.
As you guys know, in 2000, the Summer Olympics were held in Sydney, Australia.
Yes.
And on September 27th, the U.S. baseball team, the Olympic baseball team, they won a gold medal. Right, they defeated the favored Cubans and they won 4-0. And why was this so special? It was special because for the first time, the professional baseball players were eligible to participate and represent their countries.
But for Team USA.
For Team USA, since it was the regular MLB season, no active professionals played.
That's right. They were all college university students who actually played.
Asterix.
Which makes it more impressive that they won because the Cubans they have a great team. And even South Korea, they had all their, you know, professional KBO players, and they actually won a bronze medal in this Olympics. So good stuff here.
The Cubans, they're not what they used to be. Let's face it, that team, you know what I mean? It used to be like powerhouse, but now they all, it's like
it's
every tournament,
defected,
one player will always defect.
Yeah, SJ, you mentioned that South Korea won a bronze. That's right. During the semifinals, U.S. actually played against South Korea during those Olympics, and, you know, they went on to go to the finals. But did you guys know that in Beijing, during the Olympics in 2008, the reversed happened? Korea actually got the gold medal, and U.S. came in third
place. Trust me, we all know about that, because every time on weekends when there's no baseball because of rainout, all they play is the Beijing Olympic Games, and they play that same game over and over again, where they beat Cuba after a ground-out double play and stuff like that. But this is, you know, what's interesting is now we're talking about, you know, Olympics and baseball, but unfortunately for baseball fans, baseball is no longer included in the core sport in the Olympics. So, Raj, I mean, you've just recently become a baseball fan.
That's right. Well, in all honesty, I was a baseball fan when the Toronto Blue Jays won.
Let me say this again. You are recently a baseball fan because the Toronto Blue Jays baseball isn't baseball.
In 1992 and 93.
Oh, 92, 93 is the good days of Toronto then.
Yeah, the World
Series.
Joe
Carter days.
I remember those
World
days.
Series. I was hooked on baseball.
The Braves. Weren't you rooting for the Braves, though?
She's from Toronto.
I'm from Toronto.
You should have been rooting for the Braves because you guys robbed us.
That was, I don't know, that Joe Carter, that was a great moment in baseball.
Charlie Liebrandt, I still am angry with you. I'm sorry.
Anyways, I wanted to actually talk about how baseball is eliminated from the Olympics now.
Hey, you know what? I'm a huge baseball fan. I can easily say that baseball is my favorite sport.
But
it should not be an Olympic sport, to
Why
be honest with
is
you.
That?
It's not an Olympic sport.
I mean, I just think just because it's not... They don't play it in every country, you know what I mean? You can tell the countries that they don't, it's not a regular thing, you know, and it's just not, you know, when you have guys that have, you know, they were like earlier in the week, they were at their jobs and then they just show up and have a national team game. I don't think that's, you know, baseball, MLB's got to spread throughout and they got to start actually having like World Series between different leagues in the world. Then I think, okay, you can have a, you know, put in the Olympics, but at the amateur level, it's not played by every country.
And plus, there's already the World Baseball Classic, which is kind of like, you know.
Yeah, overlaps it and all of these things, but.
Well, then what about, like, during the Winter Olympics, like, hockey teams, when they play?
Oh, I don't know.
Not every country plays hockey.
A lot of nations do play hockey, though.
Well, I mean, but that's a good point, though, hockey and.
Like, do we eliminate that as well?
But is there any other hockey, international hockey events? See?
That's true.
Whereas baseball has a couple of them. You know, you have the World Baseball Classic, you have the. And then come Asian Games, they play that again.
My thing is, look, if you're going to have a tournament, you have none of the, like. You got to bring out the big guns. Like, if the main players are not going to come and don't think the tournament is important, why have it?
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? The professionals played, right?
Yes, like, eliminate all of the little garbage tournaments and bring in, like, a big one. Make the Olympics, like, the main thing, but I don't think that will happen.
That's why, like, when wrestling was eliminated, sure, like, wrestling lost its popularity, but it's the first ever Olympic sport, sure. You know? And then you have baseball, you know, obviously baseball. I don't even think basketball should be an Olympic sport. I don't even think soccer should be an Olympic sport, to be honest with you.
Yeah, because they have the World Cup, right?
Yeah, you have the World Cup. What's the point?
Yeah. Well, yeah, what's the difference? I mean, it's the same thing with when tennis is in the Olympics. You know what I mean? Yeah. All you have is the same players coming out.
We just eliminate all the sports.
It's basically a WTA event.
just have the traditional Olympic sports. You know, there's enough right now, I think, to be honest with you. And I'm a big fan of baseball. I just don't like having baseball in all these, you know, the Olympics. You know, have other stuff like let's get tug of war back, you know?
All right, well, let me ask you guys another question. Okay, quickly. How would you compare the KBO to the MLB in terms of professional
talent? Are you
talent?
Serious?
I want to know. I wanted to ask you guys.
I think it's getting better, but let's face it, it's not. There's a big difference.
You can't compare it, I think. Yeah. There's too much talent pool. It's bigger league, more teams, more money.
That's right.
You know, and also the KBO has a limit of 2 foreigners per team, whereas the major leagues, you have like 80% foreigners sometimes in some of these teams.
And just the league is so much older and more developed.
That's
you know?
KBO, 1982.
There you go. That's the stat. One thing that Raj will always remember from Sports Weekend.
1982. That is the year to remember when it comes to the KBO. But Raj, once again, 3 very interesting stuff that happened throughout this week in sports history. Thank you very much for joining us on the program, and we'll be looking forward to more next week.
Thank you.
All right, that is going to wrap it up for this portion of Sports Weekend's Part 1, but we have our Sports Weekend scoreboards coming up next.